All right, ladies and gentlemen, and strength coaches everywhere, welcome back to the Conjugate Chats. Before we start getting into the episode with our fantastic guests, we have a couple ad reads to get through. The first one is the Working Dog Coffee. So there's so many people I know mindlessly consume coffee through disturbing products on the market. The solution we have is offering an organic coffee product that doesn't have any of the nasty side effects as a poorly regulated energy drink. The only products you'll see on the label are 100%, yes, 100% organic coffee with organic flavoring. We have two flavors, the mild and the burner, are a great mix of a high caffeine product and a classic Colombian favorite blend for the coffee lovers. You can go to the website and use the code CHATS for 15% off, and every bag you buy will help support Working Dog charities around the country. Now, let's get into our other sponsor, which is Team Builder. Team Builder is the software for performance coaches around the world. Their powerhouse platform provides coaches with an elevated experience when it comes to program development, data tracking, and staying connected with athletes and clients. Team Builder is full of tools that coaches need, like multiple max training methods, 16-plus reports, evaluation testing, and goal setting, to name a few. Coaches also have access to consults with Team Builder's in-house sports scientists to help manage and analyze data. Head to teambuilder.com and sign up with the promo code CONJUGATE to receive a 30-day free trial as well as a 52-week football workout program. And with that in mind, let's jump into the episode.
You know, the good thing about a weight room is there's no excuses. You know, the weight is what the weight is. My thumb's not fast. You know, it wasn't windy. 45 pounds, it's 45 pounds. The bar, you know, everything's the same. Did you do it or did you not?
And welcome back to another episode of the Conjugate Chats. I have on John Mitchell today. Coach Mitchell, it's awesome to have you on, and great to finally get some scheduling errors underway.
That was my error. Sorry about that.
And for y'all that don't know, we had a scheduling error, last week? It was like, he thought the time was at 10 and it was at 9. I sat here for like 15 minutes. It's like, oh, well, you know, whatever. But we got it figured out. Is, you know, he ran his lap, or a couple laps. Wait, tell me. He ran his laps for that. So, Coach, go ahead and give the listeners that don't know you some insight, some background about yourself.
I'm coaching here. This is my 20th year here in Texas. I started my journey. My freshman year at Baylor, I was on Baylor strength staff, worked under Bob Fix. Spent some years, I decided I wanted to be in sales. And so then decided that wasn't what I wanted to do. When I got back into coaching, I was in Austin, Texas. Luckily enough to be right next to the University of Texas. I got to intern with them. Been all around the state. Had a lot of success. I've had a lot of good athletes. I'm not going to claim their success. I've had some really good athletes. Coached everything from softball, track. Here in Texas, we do have high school powerlifting, spent quite a bit of time doing that. So now here in Cypress, Texas, I coach running backs, and then I do strength conditioning for football and boys and girls soccer. So we have another strength coach that he handles all the other sports.
Awesome. So you primarily just work with football and just those two other sports. So how does that work having another strength coach in your building and doing the other sports?
Coach Kackemeyer is an amazing coach. I was really happy that we were able to bring him in. You know, kind of different in a lot of other states, but here in Texas, we actually have an athletic period. And so we have at our high school, there's so many sports that we have an athletic period every period of the day. And so we do have two weight rooms. And so first period, I will have freshman football. Second and third period, I have varsity or JV soccer. And then fourth period, I would have varsity football. Then sixth period, I will go work with our junior highs. And then seventh period, I have our JV football. And so we will kind of coordinate who needs to be wearing which weight room. And, you know, I've known Jeff for a long, long time. He's probably one of the best speed guys that I know. Does a great job in the weight room. And so, you know, we'll just kind of figure out who needs to be where, and it works out really well.
Awesome. Always that we, not me mentality is a great mentality to have, especially if you're one, your sport performance, strength and conditioning program to really flourish. You know, it's great to have. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's the great thing about, you know, because I spent a few years without Jeff and, you know, having him there is that, you know, I can sit back and go, hey, I'm looking at doing this. What is your opinion on this? And, you know, and he'll say, well, what kind of angle are you coming at? Or, hey, I need to develop. Like I said, he's an amazing speed guy and I'm smart enough to go, hey, I need to develop this. What do I need to do? And so, how can I coordinate these things? And so, you know, we work together a lot on stuff like that, bounce ideas off of each other. There's no ego at all. And so it's really nice to have somebody like that.
Awesome, man. So talk about your program. Talk about what y'all do every day at your school. What are the kind of the X's and O's? What do you hang your hat on? Like everything else in between?
You know, I'm lucky that I've been with my head coach. This is year 9, I believe. And so it's nice because we kind of see eye to eye. Whenever that first year we got together, we didn't know each other at all. I was recommended by another coach. And from the instant, you know, he just said, weight room's yours. And so I was like, all right, I'm just going to go with what I do, get my butt chewed out, we'll adapt, and, you know, then we'll go from there. And so, because my view is my job is to keep his job. If he keeps his job, I get to keep my job. And ultimately, it's his team. So what, you know, so he kind of gave me free rein. And in 9 years, we disagreed on either we're going to run an open quarter or run a 50-second run. That's really the only time ever that he's like, no, we're going to do the open quarter. I was like, okay. But what do we do is, you know, it's evolved over the years, but right now, what we really do is we're a conjugate program, and so my deal is, you know, the number one, and I'm trying not to. A lot of things irritate me. Number one thing we're going to work on is strength, and so I hear a lot of misinformation of, oh, that's just the low hanging fruit. Excuse my French, but that's just stupid. It's the low hanging fruit because that's the biggest bucket that athletes need to fill. When you get a kid from freshman to senior year, the biggest difference they're going to make is in strength. And so we are going to develop that, through the conjugate system. We're going to max out every Monday and Tuesday. You know, Monday is going to be a lower body day. Tuesday is going to be upper body day. I understand that's kind of opposite of what Louis says. But it just kind of works with my experience dealing with high school kids and our schedule. Then on the latter half of the week, we're going to develop more of bar speed with traditional box squat, things of that nature. Wednesday, we actually lift 5 days a week, which a lot of people say you can't do that. I mean, you can lift as many times as you want. It's just, what are you going to do while you're in there? And so, you know, like we had a meeting on Thursday and head coach asked me, and he said, hey, are we good to take this day and watch film? Are we pushing too hard in the weight room? I said, we'll do whatever you want. I'll adapt. And so when we work 5 days a week, we spend 20 minutes in the weight room, then we go outside and we're 20 minutes outside. And so I'm not in there just driving them into the dust. It's a very calculated deal. And so majority of the time, that's what we do. Like right now, we're in spring football and the kids got kind of stale, you know, and things kind of started to plateau. So we kind of flipped the script, and right before spring ball, we went with the anabolic circuit from the University of Nebraska, 3 sets of 10. Kids loved it. Now we're kind of more into a basic 5 sets of 2 because I'm telling them right now, they're like, why don't we max? I said, because right now our focus is on the field. We're going to get those gradual strength gains in the weight room. And then when we're done with spring ball, we're going to max out and we'll get back to what we normally do. And so I had a kid come up and was like, coach, thanks. I really needed a break, not from the weight room, but just from doing the same thing over and over. And so that's kind of in a nutshell. When we go outside, we're going to divide that up. You know, Mondays is going to be more of a linear day. Tuesday is going to be more of a lateral day. Wednesday, we're going to go more of, you know, our jumping, explosion, stuff like that. Thursday, I kind of pull in what the coaches have told me. Hey, we're really bad at this. We need to review a little bit of this. And then Friday is the day that we're really going to, we're going to grind them in the dust on Friday because they've got the weekend to recover. And when I say that, you know, the goal is not to make kids throw up. It's just going to be a tough day outside. And so, you know, we tell the kids, hey, this is game day. You know, in Texas, we play football Friday nights. We want your best on Fridays. And so, you know, beginning of off season, what would kill them by the end of off season would be a day off. And so we always want to progress all that. Coming to our weight room, there's, you know, I don't have the chalkboard that Louie has, but we've got maxes put up everywhere. Anything that we do, if we max it, we're going to put it out. We're going to rank it, you know, and so the kids like that a lot. And so, you know, we even rank the attendance. And I didn't think it would make that big of an impact on kids, but we had a kid that had to go get his braces taken off and asked if I would meet him at 6 p.m. so he wouldn't miss his attendance. And so it makes a difference to the kids. So kind of in a nutshell, kind of threw everything up, but there it is.
Awesome, coach. And we run a similar like conjugate system too at, you know, where I'm at. And I think about terms of like dynamic effort, repeated effort, max effort, in the sense of like bar speed as well. And it sounds like you do as well. Yeah. You know, I think I do it like unconventionally. And I know there's a lot of people that run like the true conjugate system and stuff like that. But I've gotten a quote from Zach Goodman. I don't know if you know who he is. He's on Twitter a lot. He put out that like everything is conjugate because you're looking at like if something's dynamic effort, right? You're looking at bar speed, and that's what VPT, you know, stuff like that kind of comes in. Max effort, you know, those are heavier days. Those are when, you know, motor recruitment is really, really high, you know, because it takes a lot of motor recruitments and motor units to actually push, you know, heavy shit around. So, and I kind of thought about it when he started, you know, kind of tweeting that out. I was like, that makes a lot of sense. And then I started listening to like JT Rankin over at that Boyer Buchanan, and he gave a presentation about conjugate. And I was like, I was hooked. And that was before like really knowing like Louis systems and everything like that. So awesome job on that, coach.
Thank you. I think probably my favorite thing about the conjugate system and the way we run it is that we're always on top of things. You know, I'll have a coach, you know, call me and say, hey, after 15 weeks, these are our maxes. This is how much we went up. Is that good? And I was like, honestly, I really don't know because we max every week. And so I like being able to look from week to week. Did we make gains? Is there somewhere that's stale? You know, I've got a kid right here for 3 weeks. He hasn't budged. And, you know, go grab that kid. What's going on? Sometimes it's an injury that I don't want to tell anybody about. Sometimes it's something going on at home. You know, a lot of different things. And so to me, it really helps me program a lot better because I can constantly see whether we're making improvements or is there something I need to adapt because we're not making improvements. And so, and the kid, you know, And, you know, you go 6 weeks and we're going to max. Oh, what if the kid has a cold? What if the kid is absent that day? And so I like the conjugate get every week that we're maxing, you know, we'll go in 3 week cycles, 4 week cycles. And so they've got something to beat and a motivation every week.
Yeah, absolutely. And you kind of brought up a good point of like, what if kids got cold? What if they're not in school? What if they had to go get a haircut? What if they had to get braces? What if state testing's that week? What if they had to go and do X thing out, you know, that is not in our weight room? I mean, that is high school strength conditioning in a nutshell. I mean, it's insane, man.
Other thing is, it's also good to be able to teach a kid how to fail. That, hey, every day is not going to be your day. All right, so buck it up. We're going to do our best today. And, you know, just try to remind them, this is not actually how strong you are. It's how strong you are today. And so when they have those bad days, say, hey, it's going to happen. What are you going to do? And so I like that also that, you know, when a kid doesn't have that good day, he learns, all right, I've got to step back. This doesn't define everything about me. You know, I can overcome this too.
Absolutely. And you kind of brought up another point as well, like pulling the kid out and saying, hey, what's going on? Is there injury that you're not telling us about? That's kind of how we approach with our long sprints, because we got dasher systems. Our long sprints, our 10-yard flies with a 30 build, the 5 build, and our jumps with the jump mat. Because it's like, if it's significantly like lower, we look at it, it's like, okay, is there things going on? And you're kind of doing the same thing just in the weight room.
Yeah. And so I don't get to be outside as much because I'm always in the weight room. Luckily, I've got a great group of coaches. But, you know, that's when we max in the weight room, we also will test outside. And so if we're maxing out squats on Monday, they're going to be running 40s outside. You know, and so we're going to have three tests that we do outside, and that's their workout for the day. They may run 40s. They may do pro agility. We test the broad. And so that way I can look at all that data and kind of put it all together. And so, and I'll have coaches say, hey, you know, so-and-so is just not looking real. You're not looking real sharp outside, or man, something's going on with this kid. He looked awesome today. And so, you know, it's nice having that communication with those guys.
Absolutely. And you say you coach football as well, correct?
Yes.
So that communication with your football coaches, how do you relay that message of like, here's what we're doing in the weight room, here's how it's going to be transferred into, you know, football, you know, guys running faster, this is why we're doing jumps, this is why we do plyometrics, this is why we do certain things. How do you relay that message to your sport coaches?
I'm kind of spoiled in that matter, because all of our coaches coach, like one of our main speed guys outside was a college track guy. He coaches defensive back. So when we go outside, every once in a while, like our O-line coach, he's about 6'5", about 380 pounds. And so we go, hey, why are we doing this? But he really wants to know this, you know, what's the why behind it. I always tell the guys, I'm going to program this stuff. Just trust me. If you don't, come ask me. I'll tell you. I have no doubt. Yeah, I've got no problem explaining it. Tell the kids the same thing. You know, I don't want to ever hear, why are we doing this? I want to hear, hey, coach, how does this help me? And so, you know, I'm lucky a lot of those guys, they kind of get it. They understand. We'll do some different stuff. Like when I brought in RPR, they were like, what on? My head coach still just calls it voodoo. It shakes his head, but he's just kind of like, whatever. And so they're pretty good with that. Every once in a while, there'll be some tense discussions. I've had a few concerning barefoot training and things of that nature. And so I'll do my best to be polite. And then, you know, but just in the end, say, hey, this is what we're going to do. So we're going to do it. I don't tell you how, you know, it's never really gets to that. But, you know, and that's the good thing about having a head coach that's got my back. And you know, that as long as they're seeing results, they kind of leave me alone.
Right. Absolutely. Our track coach here is our offensive line coach. So when we do like speed stuff or timing stuff, he kind of gets into all that. And it's kind of nice. It's, you know, when you go from like maybe a coaching staff of 3 to like a coaching staff of like 10, and all of them are, you know, either like 3 in the weight room, 5 out of the field. You got yourself. It's kind of spoiled at that point.
Yeah. And then I think on our staff, like in Texas, you may have 10 to 15 on the football staff. And so, yeah. And all those coaches will coach a second sport. So it is nice.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about your training philosophy, because conjugate's kind of got its own mentality, but talk to us about your like training philosophy, just day in, day out.
Man, my philosophy, it's really a mixed bag. I've been, you know, been around some great coaches. You know, I love the conjugate system, but I am a platform guy. You know, if you had to narrow me down to one thing, I love the Olympic lifts. That is my number one and my go-to, that we're always going to have some type of Olympic lift in there. And, you know, even when I was a powerlifting coach, we did a lot of cleans. We did a lot of clean pulls. We you know, I think that all that stuff kind of goes together. But I really try not to pigeonhole into any one thing, because it all works. You know, the triphasic works, the, you know, the linear periodization works. I mean, bigger, faster, stronger works. If you put a kid in a closet for 365 days, he comes out stronger. You know, we have the cheat code in our profession, because they're going to get stronger just by getting older. And so I always try to find the most efficient way to get those kids where I want them to be. I do believe in, I like big, strong kids. I love watching a game, and, you know, if there's a contact on the field, I want everything to go our way. If it's a basketball game, I want the other team not to want to go into the lane. You know, going to watch soccer, I tell them if they get a red card, I'll take them out for ice cream. And so soccer coach doesn't like that, but, you know, well, I'm going to run them. I said, all right, 2 scoops then. But I think that, you know, in the end, strength gives a lot of confidence to a kid. Putting that weight on the bar changes them mentally. And so I am always going to push that, but not to the point that other things suffer. I probably yell more about bar speed than anything else in the weight room. When we do max out, if the bar's not moving fast enough, man, let's just rack it. Let's move on. And so, to me, you know, it's the old thing Louis used to say, as longer a lift takes, the more chance you're not going to get it. And so, you know, I'm real big on the rapid force production, you know, the bar speed. And so, like I said, I don't know where you would box me in, because, you know, I think there's so much good stuff out there, and I've gotten to sit down and talk to some guys. You know, I was lucky that early in my career, got to become friends with Glenn Penley, and an amazing Olympic coach. And probably the best thing about Glenn was he got training athletes. He was one of the few true Olympic guys that understood the difference between training an Olympic athlete and training a football player. And so it was great to say, hey, if you were training football players, how would you do this? And he would say, hey, I would do this because, and give me the why behind it. And so, man, that's kind of, I'll be honest, it's kind of hard to even explain what I am. You know, it's just, you know, I like big, fast, strong guys, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I kind of adopted this mentality kind of recently of being physically dominant, you know, just being absolutely on the field court, you know, playing rock, paper, scissors, whatever, just being physically dominant. And it's kind of not so much like a mentality, of more just of a, like, I don't know how to describe it. It's just like, I tell our football teams, like, I want to be physically dominant. I want you to be physically dominant. I want you to outrun people. I want you to outjump people. I want you to outstrength people. If someone hits you, I want them to, you know, bounce off of you. I tell our softball team, I want you to be strong. I want you to be the fastest, the strongest girls, and the most powerful girls on that diamond. Like, point blank, period.
Yeah, like talking to you know, we talked to our football guys. Hey, we want to run the ball. We run it downhill. We want to demoralize the other guy. I'm talking to the girls' soccer team. I said, I want them to have to figure out ways to run around you, not run through you. I want them to figure, man, I don't want to body up with her. I need to find a way around. I said, that changes a person mentally. You know, it and mental is a big deal in sports. And so that's, you know, and girls, especially in the weight room, they go mentally really fast. And usually it's what I call the big plate theory, is that I've had girls that, man, if you just, I had one that she could not get 135 on bench. And then finally one day I was like, you just did 95 pounds for 10 reps. Why? And you can't get 135 off your chest. She goes, I don't know. And so we just started, we put on 10, draw another 10. And I said, don't worry about it. And we just kept stacking on 5 pound plates. She ended up doing 155. And she goes, it's just that big plate scares me. And so that mental aspect was causing her to shut down. I said, when somebody runs up and hits you and they bounce off, that's that mental aspect. They're like, I don't like that. And I said, and when they do bounce off, it's the flip side is you're like, oh yeah, why don't you do that again? And so, yeah, I like physical kids.
I like kind of the swagger that comes with, you know, increasing that confidence. Yeah. I'll tell you about a couple of our athletes, our specialists. We have a punter and two kickers, and you know they're power cleaning 185s, and you know I think our punter just maxed it at 205. I mean, a 45 and a 35. I mean, it was a nice clean, just like it was awesome. And I told him after all this, like you know, and our kicker's like 140 pounds soaking wet in power cleaning 185. I was like, do you understand that you're probably more dominant right now than some of the other kids, right? You know, not in our school, but like if you go to another school and you see them like lift, and you, especially kind of around this area where strength conditioning is not as high as a field as it should be, like there's offensive linemen that can't do 185. There's running backs that can't do 185. There's quarterbacks that can't do, you know, the weight that you're doing right now. And yeah. You know, kind of see that swagger, you know, puff out their chest a little bit. And kind of, and I love it for our female athletes, too, because, you know, seeing them walk around with some swagger, it's cool, man. It's real cool.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a pole vaulter. I think he weighed 115 pounds. It's my first year, and we're doing cleans, and he had 10s on the bar doing hip cleans just from the hang. I said, what on earth are you doing? It's all I can do. I said, well, if that's all you can do, you're not really value to anybody. So what we're going to do is we're going to put 135 pounds on the ground, and you're going to deadlift it. And then you're going to deadlift it faster. Then you're going to deadlift it faster. And once he cleaned 135, he could have run through a brick wall. He's like, man, I thought you were nuts. I said, you just kept backing away. I said, I didn't expect you to do 135 the first day, but cleaning 65 pounds really, really fast is not really helpful to what you do. Now that you're cleaning 135, I said, I don't care if you ever get any heavier. All right. But, and you know, all of a sudden his pole vaulting got a lot better. And so, but the confidence that he got when he got that weight was, it was something else.
I think that's the value that we bring just outside of the X's and O's and the performance side of things. I think it's even trickled down into the psychological of our athletes. Like, it's the difference between, I don't think I could do this, and I'm going to freaking do this. I'm going to do it without hesitation. I think that comes a lot from our female athletes because they're kind of hesitant. And that's what happened with our girls, like, when we first started training, because they had never, like, seriously weight traded before.
Yes.
You know, they've done plyometrics, they've done a lot of jumps, they've done, you know, circuits, but they never really went, I guess it's because they never had someone to say, hey, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, they started off with deadlifts with like 10s. And I remember telling them, I was like, you're so much stronger than what you even realize. Like, give me about 6 weeks and y'all find out. And then we have girls pulling, you know, 225 plus. And they're like, that's easy.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you're a lot stronger than what you're putting yourself to be.
Yeah. I mean, I think probably out of all it, I like training the girls better than the guys. They listen more. And, you know, and it's one of those deals when they hit those milestones, man, they are on fire. It's awesome.
And even for our guys too, like I know guys are kind of like, I don't know. And I was one too. I was kind of egotistic of like how much weights I lived. Cause, I'll tell you a story. My quarterback, I played center. I played offensive line in high school. I only benched like 220, 225. Our quarterback benched 250, 260. I was like, hurt the ego just a little bit. And, you know, I just like, you know, when you start going above like that 225 mark and then you get to 250, and then it's the same way with squats. Like once you get like 315 and then your goal is set to on 405, like you start to kind of build yourself and build your like confidence in that kind of, I don't know. It's cool, man.
Yeah. I think, you know, one of the big things that we do teach kids is how to overcome things that they didn't think they could do. I think in today's society, we're real quick just to quit. And it's, I'm not going to blame kids. I don't think kids are any different than we were that age. I think the adults are a little bit different, but I think the main deal is there's so much out there for them that if I'm not successful right now, I've got 10 more options I can go do. You know, and it's, and that's the nature of the internet. It's all the information's a mile wide and an inch deep. And so to put that on the bar, and I'm just telling, you know, kids staring at the bar, I was like, oh, it's not going anywhere. It's not getting any lighter. And so let's go. You know, when I was younger, I'm a lot older than you, but you know, we didn't have a lot of options. You know, this is what you're going to do. This is, you know, otherwise, you know, there was nothing else to do. And so I think the big thing about the weight room is giving those kids those measured obstacles that they can overcome. I love going back and, you know, just, you know, early in an off season, just crush them on a workout. And they're like, man, I thought you liked us. It's like, man, we got to get there. And I said, you're going to get better, and bring that same workout back at the end of the year, same weight, same everything. And it's a day off. You know, they're just like, hey coach, thanks for a little day off today. I said, that's the same workout that you complained you said I hated you. Now it's easy. And so I think building that confidence in the kids, you know, the good thing about a weight room is there's no excuses. You know, the weight is what the weight is. My thumb's not fast. You know, it wasn't windy. 45 pounds is 45 pounds. The bar, you know, everything's the same. Did you do it or did you not? You know, and if you didn't do it, what are we going to do to make sure that we can get there to do it? If you did get it, where are we going now? And so I think it really helps kids, you know, later in life, you know, to learn those skills.
Let's kind of change gears for a little bit. So you were talking about the low hanging fruit being strength. And, you know, I think that's popularized right now. A lot of people say, you know, the low hanging fruit is strength. Yes, obviously. But I think that's where we kind of get the highest potential for our athletes as well. You know, we can build things like speed and we can build strength as well. But things like making more robust athletes, right? Being able to meet demands of our sport. Yes, sprinting is important because it's a hamstring vaccine and they need to be exposed to that stimulus. But yes, at the same time, like, they also need to build themselves and build a strength that can handle some of their demands of football. Because I saw this on Twitter. If you put 11 people against another 11 people and those first 11 are stronger than the second 11, the first 11 are going to win. And it's,
yeah,
I mean, that's just, you know, you can call it science, you know, this is, their total strength is this and their total strength is this. I mean, it's a numbers game.
Yeah, I think, you know, I look at, you know, I think we have a problem in our profession right now, and I think Twitter's killing us. I think a lot of guys go in there trying to find something that agrees with them. I think some guys go on there and they're going to hang their hat on this, and it's that and nothing else. You know, I hate hearing the, well, he went to college and he, got so much stronger and he got slower. So strength makes you slow. Well, I that's not been my experience. You know, my kid went up 50 pounds on his squat and his 40 time dropped. You know, it really is. What else was the kid doing? You know, like there's some great programs out there, and we use parts of them that will bash the weight room. And, you know, all you need to do is sprint. All you need to do is sprint. That gives you a very one-dimensional athlete. You know, I've even heard quotes of running straight ahead sprints helps you on your lateral movement. And, you know, just absurd stuff like that. But I think that, man, I got lost where I was going. You know, I think that, you know, going back to, you know, people find hills to die on. And I'm gonna find this hill, and I do that in my program, and I like it, so I'm gonna die on that hill. I like looking at everything because I just go, hey, I don't agree with it, but there must be something to it. Maybe there's something I can steal. And, you know, like I say, you know, I run the conjugate system, but, you know, we do a lot of Olympic lifts. You know, that doesn't really go together. You know, there's times I'm going to go, hey, we need to switch to something else, you know? And so, like, I really love the triphasic stuff. I love it. I think it's awesome. I cannot do it. I just can't, man. I just, it drives me nuts. I had a buddy that he was really, really good at it. I mean, got great results. And he's like, man, you really ought to try it. And I said, man, I've got the attention span of a six-year-old. I can't coach it. I said, you know, I got to go with this, and now let's go to this. And he's kind of like, man, I'm kind of the opposite way. And, you know, I didn't say anything that I've got no problems with the triphasic. I just can't do it. Now, there's aspects I will bring in. You know, we may do some eccentric RDLs. We may do some isometric holds on different things, but I can't go full in on the system. It just doesn't, you know, and I think that, you know, that's really kind of the art of what we do. You know, I was talking to, you know, Kakamar, Jeff the other day, and we're talking about how Twitter's really could be a great tool, and it can really hurt a lot of people. And I remember early on that, man, if you wanted to learn from somebody, you got in the car, you took a day off, and you spent the day with them. And now it's, you just get on the internet and you just start scrolling. Oh, here, I'm going to watch this 10 minutes. Yep, that agreed with what I think. I can remember going up to a university and spending the day with Angel Spazov, the Bulgarian Olympic coach. And it was just a mind-blowing day that, you know, he would just sit there and he asked me more questions than I asked him. And then every time I would answer, he'd say, well, that's not really what you're getting out of that. And then he would explain it to me. You know, those times I would get to sit with Glenn and say, hey, this is this, and exchange those ideas. I think we're missing a lot of that now. I used to have guys that would come in, hey, want to come spend the day? Come on, man, let's go. And so now it's just so much easier to just look at a 5-second clip or, you know, a little blurb on Twitter and then just say, all right, well, this is what I agree with. And so, you know, I remember there's times, you know, that day I spent with Spazov, I came home going, I've been doing a lot of stuff wrong, you know? And so, you know, I think that we'd be a lot better off if we got back to that, you know, going out, spending the day with somebody, you know, seeing what they do, why they do it, the situation that they're doing it in, because it just gives it a whole new context of how to relate it with what you're doing. You know, I do a lot of density training with what we do. And so when we max out on squats, we may do 6 sets of squats and we're done in 6 minutes. And so it sounds obscene. It's just like, you can't do that. Well, I did. Last time I checked, my offensive line doesn't get a 5-minute break between plays. You know, that is a parameter that I'm putting on our squats. And is it going to lower their numbers? Probably a little bit. But I need to know what they can do in that repeated time. And it's going to add different stresses to the body. And, you know, it hadn't hurt numbers, you know, we've got a nose guard that basically I've topped out. He hit 550 on squats. And I was like, all right, you're done. I don't ever care what you put on the bar again. And it actually got to the point I said, all right, 480 is what your max is now because you're strong enough. We just got to move the bar faster. And so understanding those context, now we've got a new, we're running the spread. So there's times that we maxed out and I gave him 50 seconds in between sets. And because there was times, man, we were rolling, we were going, you know, get to the ball fast as you can, let's go. Well, we're going to a new offense that we're not doing that as much. So now I've had to change my rest times because I want to, I'm not trying to mimic the game, but I want to prepare the body as much as I can. So, hey, we're going to slow down a little bit. And it was tough sailing in the beginning because the kids were standing there looking at me like, coach, let's go, you know, because they got acclimated to going and going and going. I said, all right, guys, you got 20 seconds for the next set. And they're like, what are you kidding? You know, now they're kind of getting it. They're learning how to take that extra time. And that's the same thing they're going to have to do on the field next year is learn how to. Now, the defensive guys, they were cool with it from the beginning because they're just like, hey, we're dictated by the offense and we're cool with a longer wait. And so, man, I kind of went all over that. But, you know, I think that's a big deal is, you know, getting with people and things like this where there's an actual conversation, you know, being asked and having somebody disagree with you. There's been times, you know, where, you know, me and Jeff sit there and go, no, I don't think so. And it's like, all right, well, you asked my opinion. Yeah, but we respect each other enough to say, all right, well, cool, we'll agree to disagree. But we don't walk off and go, oh, everything's wrong. It should be this, you know, so.
Right, absolutely. And I kind of like the idea of like, you know, our field is, you can get so many great ideas and there's so much we can do with our programs. I think that's the beauty. And you talked about a little bit the beauty of social media is like you can start to pick things from people's programs. You know, I like this. I like how you're doing this. But I also think on the flip side of it, you know, you got to look at the context of why they're doing the things that they do. Yeah. I ran when I was at the previous school, like our preseason program was a French contrast because we had four racks and yeah. I mean, a few dumbbells and a few med balls, like that was it. And I had to get creative with like how I programmed. Do I do that now? Somewhat. I take ideas from that and then put it, you know, in other places in my program. But, you know, that's kind of the beauty of it. Like you get to like adapt and learn. You know, various yeah. things. Now, the other aspect I wanted to talk about was the repeatability, because that is sport right there at its finest. It's the idea of repeatability. You know, if it's for a golfer, can you maintain a hard swing, you know, for 18 holes? Can you maintain, volleyball, can you maintain that 26, 25-inch vert or 30-inch vert for multiple, bouts? Football's the same way. Can you go at the same intensity for an 11-play drive or a 12-play drive? You know, I know that play one is a lot easier than play 12. you know, the first quarter is always the easiest quarter, and, you know, the fourth quarter is where, you know, the boys and the men are separated at that point. So,
yeah, I always reserve the right to be absolutely wrong, but I think the weight room is the place to work that repeatability, you know, because My findings behind this is when I am not fully recovered for that next set, my body is going to have to dig deeper and work other muscle fibers that I don't usually work. You know, the body is going to use as few muscle fibers as possible. You know, the body doesn't care that we're an athlete. Your body wants to survive. And so it's going to use as few muscle fibers as possible. But then when I've got to go back and do it again and I'm not fully recovered, well, now we're going to have to pull these muscle fibers into it. And then I'm going to have to pull these muscle fibers into it, you know, and it kind of the deal with Dr. Yeses and the 20 reps, you know, he's like, you're going to get not just conditioning, but towards the end, your body's having to pull every muscle fiber it can get. And so, you know, but when we go outside, you know, the rest on the sprints, now we're working nervous system. And so I'm okay with the kid running a sprint and, you know, we may take 20 minutes to run six sprints. And so we want that that now we're working a different system. I'm not trying to tax the muscles. I'm trying to rejuvenate the nervous system. And so I think it's understanding when and where these things, because a lot of people say, no, man, you just must run your kids in the dirt. It's like, no, you know, matter of fact, you know, Jeff will go out there and he'll say, all right, you're not allowed to run your next sprint until your heart rate is this. And he'll show them how to just take their heart rate with their fingers, you know? And so, you know, it's, and I think that's where a lot of guys miss that. Oh, we're just going to sprint to get strong. Well, then what happens when they have to go again? What happens if they go again and those muscles aren't used to being that repeatability? You know, I don't, you know, I'm probably get myself in trouble for saying this, but you know, the whole, if your top end speed is faster, your 80% is faster. And if you're always running at 80%, okay, I get that. I just don't know if it works in real life. I've never seen a study that shows that. Because if I'm really good at 80%, I'm never dropping below 80%. If I'm getting fatigued that I drop to 80%, who's to say I stay at 80%? You know, that it, I would love to see some just group studies of seeing how that, you know, pans out, because those two things just kind of, that I love straight track guys in football, because you punch them in the mouth and they stop. You know, you get in the way and they're not used to getting around somebody. I love fast guys, but I like the guy that has been through a little bit of adversity, a little bit of things like that. And so I think it's knowing when and where to put things together. And so I think that makes a huge, huge difference. You know, I'd like, you know, I've got some good, I'm going to brag. I think Texas has got the best strength coaches, you know, high school strength coaches in the nation. You know, of course I'm in Texas. That's, I'm going to say that, but, I love, you know, calling up Monty. You know, Monty's real good about getting on Twitter and showing stuff, and I'll call him and just say, hey, what the hell are you doing? Why are you doing that? You know, because I love Monty to death. I think he does an awesome job. And our programs don't look very much alike at all. And it's not that we disagree. He's like, well, I'm doing it because of this. So it's like, all right, just wanted to know it. I knew you had a good reason. I just couldn't figure it out. And so, you know, I called Kyle Keese, and, you know, it's hard to disagree with that guy. He's a lot nicer than Monty. But, you know, I think, man, I don't even know where I'm going. I got lost.
Yeah, I kind of see where you're going, man. And I think it goes back to what you're talking about with, like, visiting other people, especially people you respect in the field as well. They're like, why are you doing this thing? And then you go to their facility, and then you're like, okay, that makes a lot of sense. Okay, and I mean, I do a lot of that with, especially on Twitter. You know, there's people that post, you know, what they do every day. I'm like, why are you doing this? Like, not in the negative way, just like you said, I don't comprehend it. I don't understand why you're doing this. And then it's not so much of a disagreement as it is like, I look at it as a learning opportunity, man. I look at it as, you know, there's a small bit of, you know, strength conditioning that I don't really know. And I get to find out, you know, explore. It's kind of fun.
Yeah. I think the older I get, I just find out how much I don't know.
What's that chart that is like, you know, everything, and then you like know nothing? What's that called?
I can't, I've seen it before, but, you know, the farther I go, you know, my big eye opener is, like I said, that day I spent with Angel Spazoff, because that guy was just, I've never met a smarter strength coach than that guy. He'd forgotten things that I had never even learned yet. And just talking to him, you know, he would talk about the muscle, the nervous system, how it affects the brain, how it affects the respiratory system. And I walked out of there going, I have no idea what I'm doing. I can coach a squat, but I don't know how it's affecting the body. You know, I'm ashamed that this guy had to spend the day with me. He probably thinks I'm an idiot. And so I think the farther the longer I've been in this, I just start to learn what I don't know. You know, I get a lot less opinionated and a lot more inquisitive. You know, early on, I only knew a few things, and I was going to defend them to the end of the earth, because that's all I knew. And, now I know there's a lot of other ways out there. I may not agree with them, but that's okay. It's just, nobody has to run my program. It's just, this is what works for me. And so I'm glad to finally make it to this point. And then 5 years from now, I'm going to look back and go, God, I was an idiot 5 years ago, hopefully. So
that's part of, growing as a professional. I look at programs I've written, 1, 2, 3, when I was an intern in 2017, I was like, I can't believe anyone listened to me, man. I can't believe these athletes even remotely did what I was telling them to do. And, I think that's the kind of the growing pains and the growing part of being a professional. Just looking at your old stuff and thinking, it's like, man, I was an idiot. And then you kind of come full circle, like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Or, you just grow, man. Just grow.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go ahead and start wrapping some things up here, Coach. Okay. Let's go ahead and do Conjugate Coach Spotlight. So is there anyone out there that you want to highlight or shout out in the field of strength conditioning?
Oh, man. Like I said, Jeff Kakamar, if you ever have a chance, that guy is an open book, does an amazing job in the weight room. But outside, working with speed and agility, I've never seen better than that guy. Of course, everybody knows Monty, the king of conjugate here in Texas. I every once in a while say we run West Side just to make him angry. Of course, you got Kyle Keyes, does a great job up in Denton Geyer. There's so many people out there that do a really, really good job. Chris Garcia up here in the Houston area. He's one of those guys that big brain, so much into the science, that I remember one time he said, man, your kids look good. And I was like, it was like a teacher, telling you good job, because really, really intelligent guy. If you ever want to know about the science of it, Chris Garcia is the one that he's really, really good at all of that. I'm more one of those, I'm just going to watch the kids, see how they move. He gets more deep, deep, deep into the science of it. And so, like I said, there's so many guys out there. I'm sure I'm missing somebody, but, that's just who comes off the top of my head.
Awesome, Coach. Well, again, thank you for coming on. Thank you for, just speaking, I guess, a little bit of everything, just kind of spewing out a little bit of everything of, strength conditioning, man. Especially taking the time to sit down and do this. I always say that podcasting is one of the best, continuing education that I do.
Yeah.
Because I, get to talk to so many people and get to learn from a lot of different avenues in this field. So, yeah.
Well, I appreciate the second chance, man.
Yeah.
Sorry about missing that last week.
Yeah, man, it's cool. And, I guess it's kind of, this is fun, man. It's a fun time. So, again, thank you, Coach, for your time and everything, man.
Thank you for putting this on, man. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. And that's another episode of the Conjugate Chats. Please stay strong and have a day today.